The following podcast is provided to you free, as is all our content, at drhoffman.com. If you'd like to listen, help support Intelligent Medicine, and get great values by shopping at our supplement store, go to drhoffman.com and click on Shop, then click on the store. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you all for sending me questions, and you can email your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I want to talk to you today about exercise and its impact on women who are in perimenopause, menopause. Today's show is going to be more geared towards women, although it will be interesting to men too, for your wives, for your daughters, for, you know, your significant others. It's good information. Now, I hear a lot of complaints, or a lot of people, women who can become complacent, saying, well, you know, I'm getting older now, so my metabolism is slowing down. Is your metabolism really slowing down? I really challenge that question or that assertion or statement, because with the shifts in hormones starting at perimenopause, which can happen as early as your 30s, but for most women in their 40s, It makes a very, very big impact on body composition. That's the amount of lean mass we have on our bodies as opposed to fat mass. And you know, everybody, despite your age, you could be 22 or you could be 42, you're getting the same advice from your doctor or your nutritionist, women, to eat low fat, eat more whole grains, low fat dairy, exercise, do aerobics, and all that kind of thing. But guess what? It could very well be that the advice given to a 42-year-old woman, a 52-year-old woman, is going to be different, should be different, than the advice given to a woman in her 20s and 30s. So, let's talk a little bit about what is happening with perimenopause, menopause, estrogen, progesterone, and other very critical hormones, and how, going forward, our body composition is determined as we get older. So, estrogen and progesterone do help keep our bodies in equilibrium, but they have less impact in our fat-burning potential or non-potential compared with insulin and cortisol, or thyroid. If you have an underactive thyroid, you know you can be on the best diet in the world, doing everything perfectly. You're not going to lose weight until your thyroid is fixed. Typically, that means thyroid replacement. Nevertheless, all of these do affect a woman's fat-burning metabolism. What does estrogen do, and why is it important with regard to our metabolism? Estrogen helps our bodies be more sensitive to insulin. And estrogen also helps us deal with the negative impact of cortisol. You've heard me talk about cortisol. It's a stress hormone, and it's also a hormone that can pack on belly fat, especially. Why do we get high cortisol levels? From, yes, life stress, A. B, too much caffeine will cause a surge of cortisol. C, not getting enough sleep. You can sleep your way to skinny, and I believe that's the title of an article at drhoffman.com, so go read about it. But what happens when our estrogen is waning in perimenopause and menopause? Well, we no longer have its benefit in controlling and protecting against that negative impact of cortisol, that addition of belly fat. Now, progesterone may oppose the action of estrogen on insulin, but it works together with estrogen. in controlling the negative impact of cortisol. So why is all this important? When you have a high level of circulating cortisol and a high level of circulating insulin, this is a really bad combo for fat loss. When you've got those high in circulation, you're not going to lose any fat. When we've secreted a lot of insulin from a high-carb diet or possibly too much caffeine, we are automatically in fat storage mode. So when you get up and go to the gym in the morning, work out, work out, work out, and then come home to a breakfast of pancakes, guess what? You've put yourself now in fat storage mode after all that really good work at the gym this morning. Cortisol does the same thing. Now, since insulin and cortisol are the primary culprits in female storage of belly fat, this transition, perimenopause, menopause, often will result in fat gain and typically around the middle. There isn't one woman of that age, 40s and 50s, who has not complained to me, "I never had belly fat before. What's going on? I was always a hip and thigh woman, you know, a pear shape. I would gain weight in my hips and my thighs. I had a very slender waistline all of my life." And then suddenly, that starts to change. We become more gynoid shape, which is a pear shape, to a more android shape, which is a more belly fat shape, a more male shape, if you will. Now, there are women who naturally were never hip and thigh women, were always android, okay? And that becomes even more so with perimenopause, menopause, and the waning of estrogen and progesterone, because we no longer have the benefits of those hormones in full force to protect us against any surge in cortisol and to keep ourselves more sensitive to insulin, as they've done in our 20s and 30s. So many of you have heard me say, you know, you'd think it's some kind of cosmic punishment, but we do become more carbohydrate intolerant as we get older. Indeed we do. And this is one of the reasons why. It's the waning estrogen, the progesterone, all of that. If you're finding yourself suddenly becoming more sensitive to the caffeine in your coffee and you never were before, and you're in perimenopause, menopause, that estrogen and progesterone isn't there to kind of smooth out the effects of caffeine for you. So you may now become more caffeine sensitive. And what does that mean? It's going to cause a surge in cortisol, which in its own way will put you in fat storage mode. Okay? So the things that we were able to do in our 20s and 30s, a lot of stressful exercise, a lot of stress in our lives, and a lack of sleep that we were able to tolerate, are now starting to show itself on our waistlines. So in our 20s and 30s, where maybe a low-calorie, low-fat diet was working, it's working far less so now. And it's because of that carbohydrate intolerance that's occurring. Now, so at menopause, it's not just about the refined sugars, but all that advice you're getting from your healthcare practitioner and your mainstream nutritionist to eat more whole grain and fruits, dairy foods, starchy vegetables are fine, sweet potatoes are good for you, lots of beta carotene. Well, guess what? Now that your cells are not so sensitive to insulin anymore, this would not be great advice, because that can and will show up on your waistline. Better advice would be reducing many of these foods and increasing lower starch vegetables, low sugar fruits, green apple, pear, berries, kiwi, plums, some cantaloupe. If you don't have candida, cantaloupe is okay. And protein foods. This can help impact your hemoglobin A1C, your triglycerides, all in a good way, and reduce that creeping up belly fat that happens in perimenopause and can take full force at menopause. So, the other thing is exercise has to be approached differently. Cortisol, that stress hormone, is produced during intense exercise and long-duration exercise. I'm talking to you marathoners or female joggers who are out there greater than 30 minutes jogging. That may be a signal to Mother Nature that you're being chased by a predator, and she will help your adrenals to secrete lots of cortisol. So you may be better off with high-intensity interval training, HIIT, that's H-I-I-T. So what you would do then, whether you're jogging outside or on your treadmill, you could shorten that to 20 minutes, maybe between 20 and 30 minutes, and you do sprints while you're jogging. So you get up to your steady pace jog, and then you sprint for about 30 seconds. Or to the point of when you're huffing and puffing and not able to catch your breath, and then you slow it back down to your steady pace again. Once you've caught your breath, maybe in about 2 minutes' time, you do another sprint. So within 20 minutes or so, you will have done 6, 8, maybe 12 intervals. Those sprints are what I'm talking about. What happens during these intense bouts, these sprints, the intervals, what it does do is it can raise your growth-promoting hormones, such as human growth hormone, which is HGH, and testosterone. You want these hormones because these hormones work with cortisol to burn fat and build, or at least to maintain, your muscle. So the advice has to be different. Now, I want to talk a little bit about testosterone in women. Women need testosterone too. Now, doctors are slowly beginning to recognize the benefits, right, of testosterone, not just in men, but less so in women. Hopefully, they'll come around. Restoring testosterone in women can improve mood and well-being and other health-enhancing benefits. It can protect against cardiovascular disease. Now, women do produce small amounts of testosterone. You know, it's not all about estrogen and progesterone for us. We do produce some testosterone, maybe about a tenth of the level that a man will. And where do we produce that? In our ovaries and our adrenal glands. And just like in men, women's testosterone levels will peak in their 20s and decline thereafter. Other hormones like DHEA will also fall dramatically for women after menopause. And how important is DHEA? Very important. DHEA is the substrate where all of our other hormones are made. Estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, thyroid hormone. Okay. Unfortunately, a lot of mainstream physicians don't believe that it's important for women, and especially a hormone like testosterone. But we're finding out in the scientific literature over the last 10 years or so that testosterone can be very important for women, especially in terms of staying fit, lean, and sexually active. It was actually published in the New England Journal of Medicine in the year 2000, 16 years ago, how important testosterone in maintaining a woman's general well-being and outlook. We're not just talking about libido, ladies. We're talking about our confidence, our perception of the world, all of that. Testosterone impacts that. Having a good well-being, having a good outlook, becoming optimistic. It plays a role, testosterone does, in maintaining our energy, our sense of well-being, regardless of our age. It has everything to do in our motivation. And having a very low testosterone, as many women do, can induce fatigue, and contribute, of course, to low libido. Ladies who are taking birth control pills, did you know that this is also a quasher of testosterone? You may want to rethink that. Now, what else can cause low testosterone? Regular use of alcohol. You may want to rethink that nightly red wine, ladies. And, of course, use of marijuana will kill testosterone. So, besides that high-intensity interval training I just told you about, the HIIT exercises, high-intensity interval training, that can raise testosterone and human growth hormone in a very, very big way. Strength training is also very big. There was a study that after doing squats, ladies, remember Jack LaLanne? Squats, you're working all your big lower body muscles. You're working the glutes, you're working hamstrings, you're working the quadriceps, that's the front of your thighs. Significantly raises testosterone. This has been shown in the scientific literature. So, the advice on exercise for women who are in their 40s and 50s, perimenopausal to menopausal, needs to change. It needs to have more focus on HIIT, high interval training, and we need to give equal time to strength training. So all the cardio we've been doing in our 20s and 30s, it's going to work less for us now. And it may do nothing. All that cardio may do nothing to budge that belly fat that seems to not go away no matter what you do. Because you're still running for 45 minutes to an hour. You're still feeding that with bananas and sweet potatoes and maybe waffles and things, which does not help that belly fat. It only helps you to store more of it by your pancreas secreting insulin in response to all those carbohydrates. So, in our 40s and 50s, ladies, that long-duration exercise is working differently. It can have a different hormonal impact. And it can exacerbate the effect of cortisol because it's raising it without the balancing action of those nice growth hormones and testosterone that we would get if we did the shorter burst interval training and the strength training. So what's the exercise prescription? Shorter, intense exercise. And cortisol can be controlled and also lowered by relaxing activities, leisure walking, tai chi, qigong, massage, restorative yoga, not intense yoga, the yoga that I like. So, together with a lower insulin diet, which is a lower carb diet, eating less starchy vegetables, more of the non-starchy vegetables, lower sugar fruits, all of this is important. And implementing a smarter stress-reducing exercise regime will make a huge difference in your life. Because perimenopausal physiology and menopausal physiology makes us more carbohydrate intolerant. We don't have all that beneficial estrogen anymore to help offset the effect of insulin. So we're more stress sensitive now. And we don't have the estrogen and progesterone to dampen cortisol's negative effect. So you need to make the right changes in your diet, exercise, and lifestyle in your 40s and 50s, which can be quite different, 180 degrees different than what we were doing in our 20s and 30s. And that's to help combat menopausal weight gain, middle age spread. It's not, oh, this is what happens as I get older. I don't buy that. Because our hormones are shifting, we need to make the proper changes in our lifestyle to accommodate that shift. We're talking about high interval intense exercise, shorter duration. We're talking about giving equal time to strength training. And the scientific literature tells us the optimal amount of strength training to do in a week is 3 times a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or maybe Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. You need a day off in between. Okay? You want to decrease the amount of carbs in your diet. You want to make sure that you're getting ample amounts of protein, high biological value protein. Because we don't have the progesterone to soothe us anymore, that high biological value protein will give us the tryptophan so that we can create good, feel-good neurotransmitters like serotonin and dopamine and GABA, right? And you want to build in a restorative and a relaxing activity. That could be a weekly massage. It could be walking. It could be a more gentle yoga, right? So I'm a nutritionist. I'm not here to talk to you about HRT and stuff. I'm here to talk to you about what you could change regarding your exercise prescription, your diet prescription, your lifestyle. Thank you for joining me on this edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.